Welcome to the Glenelg Hopkins CMA's podcast series on land care leaders, where we're talking to landholders and community members who've invested in land care in their local area and are seeing the biodiversity benefits on the ground, in their communities and on their farms. In this episode, we meet Jane O'Ban, who farms on the banks of the Hopkins River near Warrnambool in southwest Victoria. For the last 25 years, planting sections of the banks of the Hopkins River has been Jane's goal, bit by bit, joining the sections together from the Hopkins Falls all the way along the length of her farm to replace what was once removed. To get the 2,000 odd trees a year into the ground, Jane has called on the community, utilising family, neighbours and school groups even for educational purposes to ensure the plants get in the ground so they can begin looking after themselves. It's paying off in more than just improved production on farm. The waterway is healthier too, as evidenced by the platypus who appears at the end of this interview.
Jane O'Ban, and we are living here on the Hopkins River at Wongoom, and I'm involved with a Hopkins Falls Land Care Group.
Well, Jane, we're sitting here next to the Hopkins and amongst a lot of the trees that you've planted over the last 25 years, and there's all sorts of parrots and things flying around us. It's an absolutely gorgeous winter's day.
It is.
Tell us a bit about your journey along the lines of the Hopkins and the last 25 years here.
Sure. Okay. Well, I guess that 25 years ago did start off not knowing very much at all, like then having, you know, getting involved with the Hopkins Falls Land Care Group, talking to neighbours, talking to CMA staff who could point you in the right direction with funding, and getting some, you know, being successful in getting some funding, because, you know, thankfully at the time any river revegetation was deemed as important. So we were able to get funding, start our plantings, which started small, and then probably once we sort of got confident in what we were doing, we're reaching up to 2,000 trees a year that we'd be planting. And some of the years we did direct seeding, some of the years we'd have off just to have a break and do a top up, you know, because you would lose some species. Not a lot, you know, it's pretty successful, most of the plantings we've had. And just continued. And then I suppose over those 25 years have seen the change in the farm, basically. We've got a lot of shelter now for animals, so the animal health welfare was quite high on our list, as well as the need for wildlife to have a place to live. A lot of, you know, I was interested in koala care, so there was a lot of koalas passing through our property that just didn't have any trees to live in. So that was kind of the main, you know, one of the main aims was to put in trees that koalas could have habitat to live in.
So this is in the lower reaches of the Hopkins. Mm. So where we are here, the Hopkins would be 30 metres across, I suppose, at the widest. When people hear that you've fenced off the Hopkins to keep animals away and you've replanted, it sounds quite simple when you start like mm-hmm. that. But what an enormous amount of work across 25 years. How did you start out, and how did it progress?
Yeah, well, I guess we just did a section every year. So we did the most prominent sort of, you know, right near our place and up to the Hopkins Falls. And then we've just worked back. So every section, we just work back towards the last section of the property. So because most of our property is, well, all of our property has river frontage, which we're, you know, very lucky to have. But, you know, the river health is poor. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of runoff and has contributed to the actual Hopkins being one of the poorest health rivers in Victoria. So we're trying to just change that a little bit by helping, you know, protect the section that we're on, and also just creating habitat for wildlife.
And such an important river for our region. It's an iconic river in our region. So you must feel proud of what you've been able to achieve in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, well, you know, it is amazing how, you know, really within those first 5 to 10 years, we just saw an amazing change in protection around the farm. The animals, you know, were definitely in places that they were much more, much happier because of the fact that they had shelter. And the wildlife started to happen. You know, we've got resident koalas, we've got wallabies that live on the river, the birds, as the parrots are flying over us.
Well timed.
The birds are amazing. We don't get very many of the old birds that we used to have, blackbirds and so forth. It's now parrots and cockatoos, eagles, hawks. We've got, you know, quite a variety that are now, you know, living around the farm. So, yes.
And I can see a little grebe, I think, that's just popping up over there. Right. So there's all sorts of things.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Now, how did you decide what to plant and where?
We got that information from CMA. They provided us with a list of all the endemic species to the area. So we've always stayed with that. But we've planted the ones that would have naturally grown on here, but have been cleared over the years. So that was a pretty easy, really. And I guess there's some that were more successful than others. The gums have definitely done well. The eucalypts. But, you know, there's a mix. We don't just plant eucalypts. There's got to be a mix, and that's understory as well, native grasses. We also did find, as when we fenced up further up the river, that there was native grass there that hadn't been cleared because it was a rocky area. So we've got wallaby grass and whatever that's naturally growing that we're now protecting because it's actually the stopper off that section. So that's been great. So we didn't have to, that was already there, and it's just expanded since it's been fenced off.
So in terms of eucalypts, the swamp gums,
river reds, blackwood, a lot of tea trees, particularly on the river's edge, we plant a lot of tea tree. There's quite a variety of other sort of understory, your sedges and your, you know, poas, clubrush that we've replanted as well that are doing really well.
Now, often it's a team effort with these efforts over time. How have you worked with neighbours and other landholders along the river?
Yeah, well, some of the funding that we have been successful getting with the Landcare grants have come from neighbours doing similar to us. So they're further up the river and, you know, they've had their section that they've planted as well. So we've, you know, collaborated. Not every farmer or along the river has got on board, but, you know, it has been successful with neighbours now. You know, you see definitely more happening, which is great, and hopefully that continues.
And what does it feel like to have made this difference in 25 years? It must be very rewarding to come down here and see the difference you've made.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a different, completely different. Like, it's, you know, you're amongst nature. It's a beautiful place to wander around. It's certainly, you know, a place that I enjoy. And, you know, I want to see more. We do have, through the Hopkins Falls Landcare Group, we've got a project called Falls to Forest, which will be from the Hopkins Falls to Fram Forest. So that's the plan, is to get everybody along that area to fence off and re-veg the river, which is, you know, it's we've made a good start on that already. So
that sounds like a very important corridor.
Yeah, it is. Well, particularly, you know, Fram Forest is a special place with a lot of wildlife, particularly koalas. So having a corridor that goes to there is really important.
And a bit of a loaded question here, Jane, but what was the CMA like to work with?
Yeah, no, great. Like, you know, obviously that's where you get you've got staff there that know a lot more about all of, you know, tree planting and what's involved and funding and so forth than I knew. So that was definitely very important. You know, it was essential really to start this all off. There's still some costs that you have to cover yourself, but we're happy to, you know, we could see the benefit in that, in what it gave us, and, you know, also just the value in your land. I'm sure that you know, is important as well, and what it adds to the land that you own.
So what would you have to say to other landowners who are thinking about entering projects or want to do something to their local environment but are a little bit hesitant?
Yeah, well, I think, come visit. It's definitely the difference in what we've created here, which, as I said, there is a bit of time needed to do it. But if you're passionate enough and have just that, space that once a year that you can do some planting, because once it's in, it really looks after itself. Like you're not having to, you might have to go back and do a little bit of a top hop, but it's just having that planting season set aside that you get your trees in. We've done that with help from family, neighbours, other Landcare committee people and school groups. So, that's really great as well. So exposed a lot of school kids to getting their hands dirty and learning how to plant a tree.
Yeah, what a great lesson. Well, it seems like very slowly things are changing. I mean, Landcare's been around a long time, of course, but it sort of feels here very much like you're working with nature. As opposed to previous generations where it was nature was, well, taken for granted, for want of a better
term.
Yeah,
well, that's right. It was probably, trees were seen to be in the way, so they were cleared. And, we've learnt the lesson on that. We're now having to replace what was taken away. If you've got the space and the particularly shelter belts sort of on farm, in farm zones, they make a massive difference. So it definitely is worthwhile.
Well, Joan, thank you very much for having us here today. And I think on cue, is that a platypus in the middle?
Oh, my goodness, you're kidding. It possibly is. Yeah, I can see the little here.
Yeah, in the middle of the river there.
Yeah, probably. We've had... Oh, yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. Well done. Good spotting.
The old eyes are still working.
Yeah, they are. There's one been hanging around here all summer that we've seen. My biggest, and I have to tell you about this, just over here, I was planting trees in here one year. It was through COVID, I think, so I was down here having a lovely time, and I had a splash, and it was like 2 metres away, and he just sat there and looked at me. We just had this moment where we just, both of us sat there, and I was like, oh.
Magic.
I'll never forget that.
Yes, they are magic creatures.
So, when you
see
them close up, they're just, they are. So that's great because we did lose a lot of platypus habitat through the floods. So we're starting to notice them.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on what you've been able to achieve so far. And thank you very much for having us here today. It's been such a pleasure.
Great. No problem.
Jane's efforts to create a Falls to Framlingham corridor of biodiversity will be amazing to see, and we look forward to popping back to see if the platypus approves. Our thanks to Marius Cumming, who's conducted this series of podcast interviews for the Glenelg Hopkins CMA. You can learn more about Landcare and the other Landcare leaders being showcased as part of this series by visiting ghcma.vic.gov.au or by following us on any of the social media channels.